Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
It is the dad life. How many of you ever taken the dottie to the potty, huh? With three daughters? Yeah, I've done that, you know. Oh, we are... Just want to say a big thank you to all of our fathers who are here today. And if you're a dad, we would like you to stand. We want to recognize our dads. And at this time, I want all of our young men who are going to help us pass out our gifts, if you'd come down and pass out our gifts to our fathers. We have a couple of gifts for you. The first one is a magazine called Your Life in the Red Zone. And then we also have an air freshener. You get both. You don't have to choose. And it's an air freshener of a goalpost and a football. And the reason we're giving you these is because of our theme today. We're going to talk about quarterbacking your family. And dads, my prayer is that every time you see this in your car, you'll remember that God has called you to quarterback your family, quarterback the community, quarterback the people around you. And we just want to say we love you. We appreciate you for all you've done. For watching Disney movies with us, for taking us to the bathroom, for changing diapers, for grilling, for swimming with us, all the things. Let's give our dads a hand this morning. Keep standing until you've received your gift. We want to make sure, if you haven't received one, make sure you'll wave your hand. We want to make sure every dad gets it. We also need to head to the, they're heading to different parts of the building. Well, you know, how many know that we do have some dads that serve in the nursery? Amen? Amen. We're looking for dads to help us serve in children's church as we kick off our children's church revamp in September. And so I just want to thank all the dads for all the different ministry that they do. If you'd open your Bible this morning to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Genesis 2, verse 15. In a few short weeks, football will be back in full swing. Now, that better not be the loudest amen I get for the service, okay? Go Broncos. Go Broncos. One of the most important positions in football is the quarterback position, and every team tries to get a marquee quarterback. Because if you have a great quarterback, most likely you will have a great team. Now, that's not always the case. You need defense. You need an offensive line to block. You need people that can catch and hang on to the ball. The Cowboys could use a few of those kind of guys. You know, but you need a great quarterback, because if you have a mediocre quarterback or a poor quarterback, I don't care how good the rest of the team is, you probably will not win a lot of games and you will not reach the championship. You need a marquee quarterback, and we see an example of that with the Denver Broncos of what happened last year, the importance of the quarterback position. They were 1-4 to start the year out. They made a change at quarterback. They didn't change defense, didn't change offense, receivers, linemen. They just changed the quarterback, and they rattled off 7 out of the next 8 games they won. They finished the season 8-5. They made it to the first round of the playoffs, and they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. All because of a change in the quarterback. And now this year, the Broncos, they felt that if they got Peyton Manning, they would even have a better chance at being better, so they traded Tim Tebow away. It's all about the quarterback, because as the quarterback goes, the team goes. And this morning, as we talk about quarterbacking your family, I want to just share 4 things of really, as we kind of look at what do quarterbacks do in real life, and we apply that to dads, because we are quarterbacks, dads. We are the leaders of our team, the leaders of our family, and we are even the leaders in the community. Someone once said that as the nation goes, it goes as the state goes. The state goes as the community goes. The community goes as the church goes. The church goes as the family goes. And the family goes as the dad goes. It all boils down to fathers. Statistics say that in America, 40 to 60% of kids are fatherless in our nation. And one of the great reasons, studies are showing this, and one of the great reasons there is so much suicide, teen pregnancy, crime, immorality, all these different things is because the absence of fathers in the home, and even those fathers that are there, they're absentee dads. They're not connecting with their kids. Dads, you have, as the quarterback, the most important position in all of society. Your role as a father is more important than what you do at work. Your role as a father is more important than what you do in the church. Being a godly husband and father is critical to the welfare of your family and to this nation. So this morning, we're going to look at the four things that it takes to effectively quarterback your family. If you're taking notes this morning, on the back of your bulletins, number one, the first thing quarterbacks do is they set the direction of the team. Quarterbacks set the direction of the team. They keep everyone focused on the task at hand. When something goes wrong, they get the player's mind off of what is wrong and they get it on track. Someone drop a ball, the quarterback says, hey, that's okay, you're going to get it next time. They're setting the direction. They're keeping the eye on the goal. They're the ones that call the plays. You know, they know if we're going to pass, if we're going to do a sweep around the end, if we're going to run it up the middle, but they set the direction. What the quarterback says is the direction that the team goes. As we look in the Bible, you can look in many places that how the dads went, that is the direction that took place. And we're going to look in Genesis chapter 2 because we're going to look at the first father, Adam, the father of the entire human race. And look in verse 15 of chapter 2. It says, the Lord took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him. Now let's fast forward to chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. You know, the last little sentence there in that verse, and he ate, set the direction for the entire human race for the next thousands of years. Adam, on a seemingly ordinary day, stood in the garden with a piece of fruit in his hand. He stood at a crossroads. What am I going to do? Am I going to choose the way that other people are telling me to go? Am I going to choose the broad way, the narrow way that says, hey, you can eat everything and do everything you want? Or am I going to listen to what the creator of the universe has told me? The ultimate father, the best friend. I mean, Adam was told explicitly from God, do not eat this fruit from one tree. This one tree, do not eat it. That's what Adam was told. He's standing at a crossroads. Which direction am I going to take? Am I going to go God's way? Or am I going to go the way that other people are choosing for me? Other people are saying, hey, this looks good, that's good. And we know which way Adam chose. Adam chose to go his way and not God's way. And when he took that bite, it sent shockwaves through time and space that have caused billions of people to reel ever since then. One action set the direction of all humanity. That's what happened with the first father. Dads, if you don't believe that you have the power to impact the world, look at what the first father did with Adam. We set the direction. If I come home from work and I'm grumpy and I'm snarling and I'm upset, what happens to the entire family? Isn't that a fun night in the Mellendorf household, huh? No, yeah, my son says, no. But if I come home and I am positive, regardless of the day, regardless of what problems I've had, regardless of maybe what stresses, what negative things I've encountered, if I come home and I'm positive, it sets the tone for the entire night. As dads, we set the tone when we come home at night. We set the tone for what our kids do. If our kids are seeing us reading the Bible at night or in the morning, they see us praying, then it is going to guide them, and that's going to set the direction in their life. It's not just something dad talks about from the pulpit. It's not just something that dad says we should do. Dad does it himself. He models it. And through our example, we set the direction in our family. Stu Weber has written a book called The Four Pillars of a Man's Heart. I encourage every husband, every father, even every boy to read this. But he says, God's economy is such that when the head of the family veers off course, the whole family suffers. When the head of the family is on target, the whole family thrives. Whatever the head of the home thinks or decides, however he acts or behaves, affects everybody in the home and everybody else nearby as well. A few weeks ago, we talked about if we're going to be a world-shaking church, we need to be thermostats and not thermometers. The thermostat sets the temperature. The thermometer reflects the temperature. God has called us as dads to be thermostats, where we are initiating. We're setting the temperature of the home. We're setting the temperature of the workplace. We're setting the temperature of the church. We're setting the temperature of the community, and that we are promoting the kingdom of God and the character of Christ everywhere we go. Men, we set the direction. I want you to say, I'm a thermostat. Amen. Are you a thermostat? Turn up the heat. And not just in the bedroom or the kitchen, okay? In every area of your life, follow God and set the direction that He wants. And wives, you need to let your husbands lead. Because what happens sometimes is when a husband wants to lead, the wife doesn't like it, the wife wants to control things. When Adam and Eve fell, one of the part of the curse, the Lord said to Eve is your desire will be towards your husband. And what that means, it doesn't mean that you desire to be with him, but your desire will be towards his leadership position. Because of the fall, because of what has taken place, we have a sinful nature, your desire will now be to take the position of leadership and lead. And the Bible has said that men are to be the quarterbacks of the home. They set the direction. They're the head of the house. And that doesn't mean they're tyrants and dictators, because Peter says that you are heirs together in the grace of God. And you're joint heirs. You're a team. But the husband is the leader. It's the same thing with Christ and the Father. Jesus and God the Father are equal. Did you realize that? Jesus is 100% God, just as the Father is 100% God. But Christ submitted himself to the leadership of the Father, and he says, I do not do what I want to do. I only do what I see the Father doing. In other words, Jesus, though he was equal, he submitted to the headship of the Father. And in the home, we are equal, but the husband is the leader. You're partners together. You're going together, supporting each other, just as God the Father and God the Son did, to build the kingdom of God. Men, you set the direction. And so here's a good question is, what is the direction I'm headed today? If I look at my life, what is the spiritual temperature of my life? What's the spiritual temperature of my home, of my community, of my church? If I don't like the temperature, if there's something I don't like, then I need to man up and start to set that direction, because that is a role God has called me to. That's a good place for an amen. I thought at least the wives would chime in on that one. Men, we set the direction as a quarterback. Every day you get up, you're taking the snap. and you're dropping back, you're handing off, you're passing, you're staying out of trouble, whatever you're doing, think of yourself as quarterbacking as you go throughout the day. You're setting the direction in the lives of people around you. Let's take a look at the second thing that a good quarterback does. And the second thing fathers do as they quarterback their family is to keep the team out of trouble. Good quarterbacks keep the team out of trouble. Well, what do you see quarterbacks do a lot of times when they come to the line of scrimmage? They get under center and they're looking around to see what the defense is doing, and all of a sudden they might start barking out another play, don't they? They see something that what the defense is doing, and it's going to be bad for the play they're running, and so they call an audible at the line of scrimmage. We have to change it up because they want to keep their team out of trouble. They want to make the most of every opportunity. Sometimes the quarterbacks, they drop back and nobody's open. And one of the things that young quarterbacks like to do is they want to force it and make something happen. They're not willing to take the sack or to throw the ball away. And a good quarterback has to grow and learn how to keep their team out of trouble so they're not throwing interceptions. It's better to take a sack than to throw an interception. It's better yet if you can get outside the tackles and throw it out of bounds. Make sure you're outside of the tackle, because if you don't, that's intentional grounding. And so you need to keep your team out of trouble just as a good quarterback does. That's what we as dads do. We keep our team out of trouble. How do we do that? We have to make good decisions. We have to make good decisions. It's interesting, but in Genesis chapter 2, 15 to 17, God said to Adam, don't eat of the fruit of the tree. And then what took place in verse 18? That's when he was given a helpmate. Eve was never told by God about the forbidden fruit. You realize that? Eve was never told that. Adam was told that. Adam was supposed to instruct Eve adequately to keep her out of trouble. And there had to be a breakdown somewhere, because when you look at chapter 3, verse 3, well, what does Eve say? She says, the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it. That was true. Nor shall you touch it, lest you die. That wasn't true. There was not a clear communication between Adam and Eve on what God had said. And dads, we are the spiritual leaders and teachers and priests of the home. And we need to be training our children and leading our family in spiritual matters so that they get things right. How many of you, your parents talked to you about finances and how to balance your checkbook and not to go into budget? Very few hands are up. Some of you did, some of you didn't. How many of you, your parents talked to you about the three-letter S word and it's not sin? Very few. I don't see a lot of hands. You know, as parents, we need to be sharing the practical things of life to help our kids stay out of trouble. Because if we're not helping them stay out of trouble, if we don't tell them, who will? The serpent. Hey, eat this. It's okay. It'll make you wise. It'll feel good. Look how sweet it is. Look how nice it is. As a dad, I have to be training and teaching and keeping my kids out of trouble. I need to be making good choices. If my kids see me having devotions, they will have devotions. As they see me lose my cool under pressure, when they're under pressure, they will lose their cool. One of the reasons that I don't drink alcohol is I don't want my kids to drink alcohol. I have a friend who's a judge, and he says, Craig, if there was no alcohol, if alcohol was banned in America and drugs, I would be out of a job. Virtually every crime, every robbery, every rape, every assault, every abuse case, drugs and alcohol are involved in it. So many of our young people get involved in alcohol, and they make decisions that they regret the rest of their life. As a dad, I want to keep my kids out of trouble, so I want to make wise choices in my example. Adam did not keep his team out of trouble. There was a man, his name was Richard Dugdale, and he did a study on a man who was named Max Juke. And in this study, it's called The Jukes, A Study in Crime, Pauperism, Disease, and Hereditary. Max Juke was a person who lived in the American colonial times. He was reportedly an atheist who believed in liberation from laws. There's no laws. You should be able to do whatever you want. He allegedly advocated free sex, nor formal education. He hated imposed responsibilities. Dugdale wrote that Juke was a hunter and a fisher, a hard drinker, jolly and companionable, adverse to steady toil, working hard by spurts and idling by turns. He had a numerous progeny, some of them almost certainly illegitimate. In other words, Juke was neither principled nor industrious. Many years later, a man named A.E. Winship studied what happened to the descendants of Jonathan Edwards, who also lived during the colonial Edwards. Edwards was everything that Juke was not: hardworking, God-fearing, Bible-believing. I quote, "Edwards was a godly minister who is credited with igniting the Great Awakening through his sermons. He served for a brief period just before his death as president of what is now known as Princeton University. He believed in leading by example. He authored two books on the subjects of physical fitness and kindness. Mr. Edwards later became involved in teaching people to be responsible for their daily actions." Someone once traced the family lineage of Max Juke and of Jonathan Edwards. Here's the results. Of the 1,026 descendants of Max Juke, 300 were convicts, 27 were murderers, 190 were prostitutes, 509 were alcoholics or drug addicts. Dugdale was able to estimate that the Juke's family had cost the state of New York almost $1.4 million to house, institutionalize, and treat the family of deviants. By contrast, of the 929 descendants of Jonathan Edwards, it included practically zero lawbreakers, almost none. 13 college presidents, 86 college professors, 100 ministers, missionaries, and theological professors, 314 war veterans, 75 Army or Navy officers, 60 authors, 100 lawyers, 30 judges, 62 physicians, 80 holders of public office, including 3 U.S. senators, 7 congressmen, mayors of 3 large cities, governors of 3 states, a vice president of the United States, and a comptroller of the U.S. Treasury. Two men. They set a direction in their life. Jonathan Edwards kept his family out of trouble by the man he was, whereas Max Juke did not. Talk about the impact, not just on this generation, but on your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. As a quarterback, I need to keep my family out of trouble. That's what effective quarterbacks do. Let's look at number three. Number three, the next thing a good quarterback does is inspires confidence. Quarterbacks inspire confidence. They are the chief cheerleader of the team. More important than the pom-pom girls is the quarterback. Because if the team gets discouraged, who is going to pick them up and say, "Guys, we can do this. We've got 2 minutes left. We have to go 80 yards. And he reminds me, he says, "Hey, remember to get out of bounds. Get out of bounds in the passes or drop the ball or something." You know, he keeps them out of trouble and he inspires confidence. He lifts their spirits. He says, "You can do this." That's what a good quarterback does. Have you ever been around a leader that was really negative, maybe on a sports team, and they just kind of given up? How many have ever been on a team like that? I was on a team like that my senior year of high school, our football team. Our first game, we lost our starting running back, who was the best player on the entire team. He ended up getting a full-ride scholarship to another state university. He got it in football because the football coach saw him play in the state tournament. This guy averaged 30 points a game in the state tournament. He was a phenomenal athlete. We lost him the first game. We started off this season with 12 seniors. Through injury and a couple of disciplinary issues, we ended up this season with 3, and one came back from injury at the end with 4 seniors. Halfway through, our starting quarterback went out, and we had a guy who was playing. He was a senior. He hadn't played quarterback since the 8th grade. It was a tough year. And everybody on the team was saying, "We can't do it." There was the worst team that we played coming up on our schedule. They was our best chance of victory. And everybody kind of said, well, if we can beat Jefferson, we get a victory this year. If we don't beat them, we're done. We lost to Jefferson. It was a bad year. And it was just like the morale just went out of the team. We didn't have our starting quarterback, didn't have our starting running back, didn't have, you know, most of our starters. It was sad. We needed someone to inspire confidence. Now, you can inspire confidence but not have any quality, not have the talent and the ability. It doesn't matter much. But here's something I want you to know, friends. If you are a born-again Christian, you have all the ability that you need to take your family to where you need to go. God the Father believes in you. It says in Colossians that you are complete in Him. Dads, maybe you didn't come from the best home life. Maybe you didn't even have a father. Maybe you've had a rough life. But if you have Jesus living in you, if God the Father, if you have a relationship with Him, then you have the Creator of the universe, the omnipotent God, the all-knowing God, and He can help you. You are complete in Him. You are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. You are victors, not victims. Amen. If you have God on your side, you are a winner. God plus one is a majority. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. He will teach you. He will show you what to do. You can inspire confidence in your family, even though no one inspired confidence in you. There's a story about a gentleman. He was a pastor, and he and his wife went on a summer vacation in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and they were at a little restaurant having a private dinner, and there was this old man who was walking around from table to table talking to everyone, and this pastor was saying, man, I don't want him to come over here. I want to enjoy this time with my wife. But lo and behold, the guy came, and he says, hey, what state are you from? And he said, Oklahoma. And they says, oh, that's a great state from what I hear. You know, what do you do there? And he says, well, I teach homiletics at Phillips University, at the graduate school there. And this guy says, oh, I have a great story that I need to tell you. And he pulled up a chair and sat down. And this pastor, Fred Craddock's thinking, oh, great, I don't want him to sit down. You know, just leave us alone. But the man starts telling him a story. He says, I'm Ben Hooper. And he says, when I was a young boy, when I was born, my mother, I was born out of wedlock. And I grew up in this community not far from here, just over the mountains, a small town. Everybody knew that I was an illegitimate child. And they called me names. I was kind of the black sheep of the community. And the names were so bad that I, at recess time, at lunchtime, I went off to the field away from everyone else because the kids taunted me. They made fun of me. He said, the worst thing was Saturdays when I would go into town. I felt like everyone was looking at me like they were just staring at me, saying, who was his father? They were looking down at me. And that persisted through my whole life. And when I was 12 years old, our church took on a new pastor. And I would come into church late, and I would slip out early because I didn't want anyone to see me. And one Sunday, the pastor said the benediction so fast, I couldn't get out of there. I had to walk out with the rest of the church people, and I just felt that people's eyes were burning into me. And all of a sudden, I felt a slap on my shoulder, a big hand, and it was the pastor, and he said, who are you, son? Who's your father? And he says, I just felt, man, the preacher hates me either. And the pastor turned and looked at him in the eyes, and he said, wait a second. I see the resemblance now. You are a son of God. Son, you have a great inheritance. Go out and claim it. Then he slapped him on the rump and he went out. Ben Hooper said, that was the most important sentence anyone had ever said to me. Ben Hooper was eventually elected as governor of Tennessee by the people of Tennessee. A small community that looked down on a small boy, but one man was a father to a boy who had no father and inspired confidence in him. And friends, if we're going to win America back, we as men need to begin to quarterback our community and our kids and inspire confidence in them. About 10 years ago, my wife told me that one of our kids said that, made this statement, when I grow up, I'm going to be a bad person. And so I went to this child and I talked to him, I asked him why, and they says, well, I'm going to be a bad person because you said so. When I grow up, I'm going to be a bad person. You said that. And I was like, okay, what did I say? And they told me what I said, and it really wasn't what I said, but it was how I said it. What I said, there was really nothing wrong, but the tone of my voice made them feel that they were going to be a bad person when they grew up. And I had to apologize. And it says, no, you are not going to be a bad person. I had to pour into them and love them. But I realized that not just what I say, but how I say it can produce life and death in my kids. Proverbs 18:24 says, there is power of life and death in the tongue. You're a son of God. You have a great inheritance. Claim it. Dads, inspire confidence in your wife, in your kids, in your community, at your job. Begin to quarterback this nation. The last point that we want to talk about this morning that effective quarterbacks do as we begin to wrap things up is we need to listen to the coach. In the NFL, they have headsets inside of their helmets so they can hear what the coach is saying. They can communicate. And friends, you and I, we wear a headset. It's called the Holy Spirit. And He has us in constant communication with God the Father, with Jesus Christ all the time. We can have guidance and wisdom. He can tell us, He can give us a check in our spirit of something wrong. He can prompt us to say something to our kids, prompt us to make a phone call to someone. We need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 5 says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge. If I'm going to effectively quarterback my family, I need to be seeking and listening to God. He's my coach. What would you do if you knew that somewhere on your property there was buried treasure? What would you do? Get a shovel. Get a metal detector. You would look for it. You would go after it, wouldn't you? Yeah. You'd look for it, friends. You have buried treasure right here. And if we seek after a relationship with God, we listen to Him. Oh, God, I want to be like you. God, help me to quarterback my family, quarterback my community, to be the thermostat, to be the initiator, to stay out of danger. God, if you'll help me. And you go after God with all you've got, He'll give you treasure that you've never thought of possible before. Can you put a price tag on Jonathan Edwards' family? Wow, what a legacy. Better than a Super Bowl. Who won the Super Bowl 5 years ago? You can't tell me, can you? Unless it was your team and it's the only one they've ever won, and so you remember that. But people don't remember trophies, but your children really will remember the legacy that you and I leave them. And quarterbacking your family is way more important than quarterbacking a Super Bowl team. God wants me to lead. God wants each dad to lead. And you can do it because you are complete in Him. As we close this morning, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What's He been speaking to you this morning? In just a moment, we're going to sing a song. We have people to pray with people, and we're going to ask them to come down. And if you want prayer for healing, for an unsaved loved one, for any kind of need, for a problem you're going through, we're going to invite you to come down. But I want to encourage you not just to run out of church today, but what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? There may be some of you here today and you are going the wrong direction in life. And God has convicted you, saying that you're out of relationship with Him. You have sin and you need to turn from your sin, and you need to turn and start following Jesus Christ. When people come forward for prayer this morning, if that's you, I want you to come down for prayer. We want to pray with you. We have a book we want to give you about how do you live a life with Jesus Christ. It's about a relationship, not religion. And so I'm going to ask you to come when we sing this song. There may be some of you here today, you'd say, man, I need to spend some time with God and pray. Maybe you want someone to pray with you. Or you maybe just need to find a place of prayer where you're at. But you'd say, I've been dabbling in an area that's been bad. I haven't been staying out of trouble, and I need to give that to God this morning. Before I walk out of here, I need to get out of trouble. I need to keep my family out of trouble. Maybe you have a hard time believing in your kids, and you're negative, and you need God to give you a positive attitude in your life. Maybe you need to make God more of a priority. You need to seek Him in prayer and devotions. What is the Lord speaking to you today? I just want to encourage you and challenge you and say, God, change me. Change today. I'm always changing, like we talked about last Sunday. I'm always changing and being more like Jesus.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.